All right, well, good morning. Let's stand together for the scripture reading, all right? John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You guys may be seated. Well, today's message is titled, Obedience is the Evidence. Craig Groeschel once said, one of the best measurements of spiritual maturity is the length of time between God's command and our obedience. I'd say it like this. Spiritual maturity is when I'm seeking a one-to-one knowledge to obedience ratio. It is easy to want to be fed more knowledge. That kind of comes naturally to us. What does not come so naturally is to want to obey more. Wouldn't it be great if, like, that toddler, if you ever spent time around a toddler eating and they demand more food, feed me, feed me, feed me. They got applesauce all over their face, they're slamming their spoon on the table, feed me more, feed me more. It doesn't seem right that you would ever see them also say, I want to obey more, I want to obey more. And why is that? Because of immaturity. You don't expect that from a toddler. The point here is, wouldn't it be great for us as Christians? A lot of times we think about maturity. What is maturity? What is maturity? And sometimes we just equate that to knowledge, kind of like an ancient Gnostic belief. But maturity is so critically important in the life of a believer. One of the most wonderful measures of maturity in the Christian faith is obedience. Now, let's define it before we move forward. Obedience, I love Charles Stanley's definition. I just think he nails it. Obedience is doing God's will, God's way, in God's timing. It's that simple. What he wants, how he wants it, and when he wants it. Now, the when is a struggle for me sometimes. I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. I'll get to it tomorrow or when I have a free moment. When does he want our obedience? It's now. It's now. I think one of the concerns, there's two extremes I think we got to be conscious of in the church. One is this far progressive thought process that, you know what, don't focus on truth and being rooted too much in the scriptures, just go and do things. But then you have this other extreme that says, feed me more, feed me more, feed me more, without interest in actually exercising these things out. It's got to be both. It's got to be holding tightly to the truth, clinging to the word of God, and also exercising it out. Now, coming back to John chapter 15. There is a crucial assumption that we have to understand here. It's that his commands to us are rooted in his love for us. We got to know that. I'm going to say that again. All right, this is so critical. His commands to us are rooted in his love for us. He created these commands because he loves us and he wants us to be able to walk in that love. Every time that we obey, we are actually experiencing his love more fully. Now, how many times do we think his commands are not that? There's a lot of things we think his commands aren't, and we're going to get into those here in just a minute. But through the Old Testament, we see obey, 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 and then God's blessing comes. Let me just read a few verses here. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Or Jeremiah 7:23, and there's so many we could get to. But I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I commanded you, that it may go well with you. So in the Old Testament, what you see is, you see obedience and God's blessing. But in the New Testament, what you see is, obedience helps us relationally connect to the fact that God loves us so deeply. You ever experienced that? You ever just submitted to his commands and experienced how much he loves you in the process? That's really what he wants us to do. Now, one of the tools that the enemy would love to use is to get us to get these commands out of whack, to mean things that they don't mean. So I want to talk through three things that they don't mean. These are misperceptions about his commands. Number one, they are not justifying. Crucial to understand. If we ever thought his commands justified us, it's like looking at Jesus on the cross and saying, Jesus, you almost did it. Let me help you. You need my command. I mean, you need me to obey the commands, and then it's complete. No. Jesus says it is finished on the cross. It is his grace that justifies us. Crucial to understand that. Remember, like we talked about Wednesday night, we talked about Moses, and God does not give the Israelite people the law and say, if you do a good enough job obeying the law, I'll think about freeing you. What does he do? He frees them and then says, these commands are the best way to live into the freedom that I've already given to you. Remember Ephesians 2, it is his great love. The essence of his character is love for us, and that love compels his grace to be poured out on us, and then through faith, good works flow. That's crucial, right? Romans 1:5, obedience comes from faith. Our obedience doesn't justify us. Our obedience is a result of our faith. Now, is that not exciting? I mean, there's something in us that goes, look at all these commands from God. I better obey them, right? Isn't that kind of natural? And then we also know that we can't really fully obey those either. So we have this weird heaviness that plays into our minds because we know we can't do it. So we just be bogged down over and over and over again. What we've got to realize is that our obedience does not justify us. It is his grace that justifies us, and praise God for that. And when you understand his grace, that's when you can do good works from a position, not for one, and the heaviness goes away. His commands do not justify us. Jesus Christ on the cross justifies us. Second, his commands are not criticism. If you told a kid on the street and there was a bus coming, he didn't know, kid, get out of the road. And that kid turned around and said, how dare you? How dare you tell me what to do? How crazy would that be? It's not that you are trying to rob him or deprive him of any kind of life. In fact, you're doing what? The exact opposite. You're saying, I want you to live. I love you. I care about you. I want you to survive. That's why I'm giving you this command. Get out of the road. I think it's very easy for us to understand that God's encouragement is rooted in his love. But then when it comes to his commands, there's this weird insecurity or pride or defensiveness that makes us think that he's being critical of us, or that he's not for us, or that he doesn't want us to experience the fullness of life. He's standing there in judgment and separation from us, which isn't true. His commands are also rooted in his love for us. Joshua 1:8, keep the book of the law. We talked about this last week. Always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. What God is doing with these commands is he's wanting us to thrive. He's wanting us to prosper if we will just obey his commands. He wants us to have life. Man, I'll just tell you, honestly, I may regret this. I don't know. We'll see. Let's find out. All right. One of the heaviest things for me in ministry and then going back into counseling too, is when I would tell somebody, this is what I really believe God wants you to do in order to experience fullness of life. And that individual, and this has happened dozens and dozens and dozens of times, will get defensive. And I'm going, there's no reason to get defensive. I'm for you. I want you to experience life. I've got degrees in this stuff, and I want to help you move forward into life. This is what God is saying here. He's saying, take these commands that I've given to you, obey them, and that's where you're going to experience his love more deeply, and you're going to experience life to the full more deeply. See, God's commands give us guidance and direction because he loves us so deeply. Got to understand that. And thirdly, his commands are also, and this is the best one, his commands are also not burdensome. He's not trying to add something to our agenda for us to make sure, oh, I got to hit that one. Got to make sure I cross that one off. Got to make sure I obey that thing. That's not what it is. It is intended always to lead us into life and lack of heaviness, not to add heaviness. 1 John 5, verses 2 through 5. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All right, so you might read that passage and think, actually, it sounds kind of heavy, keeping His commands in order to overcome the world. That sounds heavy. But thank God, we don't have to be the one who actually overcomes the world. Again, we are justified by His grace. He's the one who overcame the world. What God is inviting us into, essentially, is to just be a part of the overcoming party. He's saying, if you'll just obey my commands, then what will happen is you will see that there is life way above the world, way above what the world offers. So essentially what he's doing is he's saying, hey, so-and-so, if you'll step into this command that I've given to you, that in essence is you coming to the overcoming party. That thing that I've been telling you to do, you know, you need to step into serving in this capacity, or you need to have that hard conversation, or you need to ask for forgiveness, or you need to forgive that individual. If you will step into that, then you will experience the overcoming of Christ. We get to share in that. We get to go to the overcoming party. That's what he's saying here. We don't have to overcome anything. Praise God for that. I mean, sometimes it's difficult enough for me to overcome my alarm clock in the morning, let alone the world, the whole world. And yet, Jesus has done that on our behalf, and he's saying, just come to the party by obeying my commands. So, the scriptures have proven that his commands are rooted in his love for us. So, the question really is this, and don't answer out loud, how are we doing on those commands? How are we doing when we self-reflect in that? Let's look at some of his least popular ones, and then we'll self-reflect a little bit more. In Matthew 6, he says, forgive those who wrong you. Also in Matthew 6, he says, love your enemies, which, by the way, is the only, Christianity is the only religion that teaches that. Love your enemies. Yeah, I'll love them, all right. Love to see them fail, maybe. Or Matthew chapter 5, pray for those who persecute you. There again, oh, I'll pray for them, all right. Pray for their destruction, maybe. Pray the David prayer of, I pray the destruction of all my enemies. Or the Paul prayer in Galatians 2, I wish my enemies would just go emasculate themselves, all right? Like, you ever pray that way for the enemies? That's not how he's talking right here. What is he saying? You want goodwill for them. How are we doing on that one? Or Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Not just for the professional Christians or the overachievers, a command from God. So I ask again, how are we doing on those commands? This is not to guilt you. If you are somebody who goes, man, I would really like to be stepping in more to the commands of God, well, I got good news for you. We are getting Baptist practical once again here today, and I'm going to talk through how we can step into obeying his commands more fully. But before we do that, I want to remind you again, keeping these commands do not justify you. The enemy wants you to think that God's love for you, God's affection, your position, everything rides on whether or not you keep these, and that's not true. All right, let's get practical. First thing, if you want to keep his commands, if you want to step into obedience, the first thing is be fully present with him. Very simply, be fully present. Put the phone away. Sometimes, and I think this is probably everybody, but you'll be talking to your spouse or somebody, but like really something else is on your mind, but we have this like automatic sense where we know when we're supposed to say uh-huh in the conversation, you know? It's like you're not really listening, but you feel the break in the talking, so you're yeah. Well, sometimes we do that when we read the scriptures or when we pray. It's like I'm talking to God, we're having a conversation, but at the same time, what do I got to do today? Well, what's on the agenda? I think one practice somebody told me one time that I think is really helpful is when you pray, when you spend time with God, take a blank sheet of paper, and those things that come to mind while you're doing that, just go ahead and write them down in that moment, and then that way you've done something with it, and you know you can come back to it. So like when something comes to your mind whenever you are praying, sometimes you're like, man, I don't want to separate that because I need to attend to it at some point, so I don't want to lose that thought. Just go ahead and write it down. That way you can be fully present with him. Psalm 84:10 says, better one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Man, we just want to be present with him. The second thing is listen or be quiet. Sometimes you can be fully present with somebody, but you're doing all the talking. And I do this sometimes with Morgan. I'll be 15 minutes going on and on and on and on and on about my day. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I have to ask her how her day was, too. I can't just keep rambling on. Isn't that true sometimes in our relationship with God? We come to him when we want something or when we feel like we need something. And we tell him the thing that we need, but we don't stop to actually listen to him. In 1 Kings 19, I love this story. Go back and read through the whole thing of Elijah. But like, there is earthquake, there is wind, and there is fire. And after all that goes away, it says that God spoke to Elijah in a simple whisper of a voice. I think because God is a gentleman, if we've got all these other voices going on, I think he just goes, okay, I'm not gonna necessarily drown those things out. But I will wait, and I'm here, and I'm available to you, that when you will silence those things, I would love to speak in. But we can't really hear a whisper if we're continuing to talk. I mean, if we did, I thought about doing this experiment, but I don't think I'm going to. But if I had done this experiment, which was to, on three, just have you guys start talking to each other, and then I asked an elder in the room to whisper something, you wouldn't be able to hear what it was he whispered, would you? But if everything was quiet, you might be able, you probably still couldn't hear a whisper in here, but you get the point, right? Sometimes we got to silence ourselves and silence the things around us so that we can hear that gentle, sweet whisper from God. The next one is choose trust. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now that word trust here, it's a confidence, but really he's talking about a security here. And in those days, when you had a multi-stranded rope, and you tied that down to something, you would feel like that was secure. You're tying the knot to something else. That's where it comes from, tying the knot. You're tying the knot to something else, and now you feel secure in that. And the point being that if we put our trust in God, we are tying ourselves to him, and that's where our security comes from. And by the way, once you've tied your knot to God, he doesn't ever let go. I mean, you think about a rope and how some of those strands can come off and stuff like that, and maybe in some kind of relationship, you know, the strands can break and that relationship can fracture. God always holds his end. He never lets go of the rope. There's always security in him. We can put our trust in him. Every time that we obey his commands, we can trust he's going to do something good with that. And sometimes we think, I just don't know how this is going to work out. So I don't know that I want to trust him in this. And I'm just telling you, anything that God says to do, it is perfectly safe to do it. Got to know that. We can step in and we can obey. And that brings us to the last one. Abandon outcomes. Can we attest this might be the hardest one of all of them? I mean, sometimes we want to see A to Z before we do A. But our relationship to God is kind of more like a journey than it is a trip. You know, a trip is like we're doing everything we can just to get there. You know, we're going to consolidate our stops and get gas quick and go through the drive-thru and just keep on going, right? There's almost like a stress in it. You get somebody slow in the left lane, you know, and you're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. We got to get there, right? Our relationship with God is more like a journey. A journey is we're excited about this process. We might not even know where we're going, but we're just glad that we're going with Him. That's really the point in the Christian faith. What if we thought more about the fact that this is just good, being with Him and abiding in His love and abiding in His commands? And God, wherever you're going to take us, I know it'll be good. Yeah, I know you're not going to abandon me. I know that you want to do good, and I don't really see it, but I'm just going to go. It's just going to be a great thing to just step in. It's not really a destination. It's more of a journey. So obedience means I might only see A or B. I'm still going to step in because God asked me to, and that's really all there is to it. So if there's a bottom line for the day, it's this: obedience is the evidence of our love for God. Worship team, you guys can come forward. It would be a cop-out for me to ask you right now, do you love God? All of us would say yes, I think, right? But if I asked us objectively, have you obeyed the commands of God in demonstrating your love for Him? A lot of us, including me, would go, maybe I'm not as sure about that. But Jesus is clear. When He comes to Peter post-resurrection, He goes, hey, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, yeah, of course. And then Jesus says, I want you to show me the evidence of that, which is to feed my sheep. As in, step in to this thing I've called you to. Because in John 15, we take a step back and we go, He says, abide in Him, stay close to Him relationally. He says, abide in my love. And then He says, abide in my commands. And why does He say that? Because we experience relationship to the full with Him more when we abide in those commands. Here's what I've been trying to get to this whole series. In essence, in the Christian faith, Jesus is everything. If Jesus said it, we should do it. And so in this series, what we've talked about is we said just abide with Him relationally. Just connect with Him. Abide in His love and abide in His commands. And that, frankly, is the entire Christian faith. He says, in all that abiding, if you want to see good fruit in your life, if you want to see God move, really, that's our role. And then God does everything else. He produces all the fruit. In fact, Lisa Turkhurst once said, our role is obedience. God's role is everything else. Isn't that true? Jesus is everything. Justin shared with me a great quote last night, one of my favorites instantly. It says, after everything, it's still Jesus for me. Is this still Jesus for me? Is Jesus everything? Because if the answer is yes, nothing else matters. He'll take care of the rest. So as we close this message, I'd love to close a little bit differently. If it's helpful to close your eyes to reflect during this time, that's great. I'd love to call all of us to action in some way. There's going to be something for everybody because I think God is calling us to step into something somewhere in obedience. Maybe there are things you know that God has been telling you to do for a long time. And maybe it's a hard decision to obey. Maybe it's a big secret. It could be anything. It could be breaking the law or something, or it could be an affair. It could have been some kind of big moment in time that you felt like, man, I can't really expose that thing because it's just going to cause too much harm. It's just going to be hard to deal with. I just can't go there. And God is saying, just ditch all the outcomes. Stop trying to fit everything together before you act. Just obey. Or maybe it's a ministry opportunity. Maybe it's to serve or volunteer, and you go, I know I should do that. I just can't really get to it right now. Or maybe you know your family needs to cut out certain things and certain rhythms, and you're just going, yeah, but I don't want to make that hard decision to step into that. Or maybe it's something like, I need to forgive. Maybe I've been bitter and frustrated and holding on to unforgiveness for some time. Maybe my step of obedience is just to forgive, to release someone of the debt that they owe me. Or maybe I need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's a relationship I need to step into. It's just not quite right. I want to be obedient. Guys, I'm just saying, obedience is such a marker of maturity in the Christian faith. It's not about just what we know. It's about making that knowledge to obedience ratio 1-to-1. So, Father, the enemy loves to like get in moments like this where the truth has been proclaimed clearly. I pray that because you've spoken in this place, because you have told us clearly what it is we need to step into, he loves to take that and he loves to twist it, and he loves for us to kind of reflect back and go, let's rationalize this thing, or maybe it's this thing. No, just drown those things out. Drown out the schemes of the enemy. And I pray, would you just help us to be a people of very simple obedience? We want things your way in our lives because we know that if you're saying it, it's for our best interest, and we just believe you and we trust you and we step in. And yeah, we can't see A to Z, and we know that that conversation is going to be hard, and we know that we may be up against it here, but you've said it, so we believe it. And we believe that that's best. We believe that abiding in your word and abiding in your commands is truly the best thing for us. And so God, in this place right now, would you be so gracious as to open our hearts to see, give us your eyes to see what it is that I need to do next to step into obedience more clearly and more fully. Maybe it's adding more, or maybe it's subtracting more. Maybe it's bold action. I don't know. But God, would you be so gracious to work in this place, to work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, saturate this place. We love you very, very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as we worship, if you have a prayer need, I would love to pray with you. Aside from that, I want you to do two things. One, worship your guts out, as I always say. And two, reflect in, what is God calling me into? Because I know if he's calling me into it and I can't see the result, I know it's good anyway, and I'm just going to step in. Let's do that during this time of worship.